What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about evangelism, but through the lens of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, I think, is a very interesting case study, quite frankly, in passion and zeal. As zealous as he was to be fighting a war against Christ, he is now, once he is converted, that zealous and passionate about fighting a war for Christ. Yes, and I would like to say we have 700 subscribers and a little above. We have evidently had some really good promotion in a foreign country, and I love it. I'll take it. It's good stuff. I do believe this is a groundswell that will not, in other words, I don't think, I mean, we gained 100 subscribers. We gained 100 subscribers overnight. I don't think we'll keep that up. But once this virality, and this is not viral. I mean, if we woke up this morning and there was, 172,000 subscribers, like, that would be viral, okay? But this is by no means viral, but it does have some of the same characteristics. And once this little virality, this smidgen of virality settles down, we'll be able to more see where our analytics are and how our uptick is. We are on the rise, despite this little, this big, from our perspective, jump in subscribers. We're still on the rise. So anyway, things are good, and I'm happy, and I'm glad the channel's going like it is. We do meet the minimum requirement for YouTube monetization as far as subscribers goes, and we are about 150 watch time hours away from the 3,000 hours that it takes to be fully meeting the criteria for the first stage of YouTube monetization. So for that, I want to thank you all. I really appreciate it. Without you, we wouldn't be able to do this. So talking about evangelism through the lens of the Apostle Paul, folks, this is one of my favorite studies. And we're going to look at this through the lens of Romans chapter 9, verse 1. And we're really going to see how Romans chapter 9, excuse me, not verse 1, but verses 1 through, I think, 3 or 4. We're going to look at a phrase in there, and we're going to look at the grammar of a phrase and the specific words that Paul used, and that which I think are very important. And we're going to see how that desire that he elucidates in Romans 9, we can extrapolate from that and see how he would act in every situation when it comes to evangelism. And before we get into, I just realized I'm using "and" as a filler word. Anyway, before we get into the meat of the podcast in that way, I want to talk about these verses. I've just got 6 verses here that, in my opinion, showcase Paul's passion for evangelism. Anyway, good to see everybody. Rob Leedy, how you doing? Diana Harden, Scott Beck, again, thank you for, like, that's just awesome. And Scott, look, well, everybody, all three of you that's commented, and all the folks that are here, we really appreciate you. And there's some folks behind the scenes that are really interested in how well we do, and they are really rooting for us, and they are supporting us both monetarily and through likes and subscribes and watches. Now listen, I don't normally talk about support at the beginning of the show like this, but I'm not going to ask you for a dime right now. What I want to ask you for now is just your time. Interact with the content. share the content. It don't cost you a dime. And something it don't cost you a dime to do is let these long form videos play in the background. One thing that we're killing is the analytics on long form archived live stream shows. And it would be really cool if we, on our live streams, we got double digit audience retention on average viewers. That would be cool. And that shows a health in the channel. So anyway, you can do that and won't cost you a dime. But if you do want to support monetarily, well, Substack's an easy way to do it. Later, I'll put up the quote-unquote tip jar, which incidentally, be sure to pay attention. If you're one of those, and there are a couple of you that really, whenever you support, you like sending it to the PayPal, pay attention, because I'm thinking about changing that PayPal. Because quite frankly, that PayPal is a little bit difficult to use because it's hooked up to a bank account in the United States. And there's no way to change that. So I really need to make a Canadian PayPal because we're in Canada. Anyway, so that you'll see that when it comes. All right, forget about all that. Don't forget about it, but let's get back to the podcast. Listen to these verses. I love these verses. These verses, is just six of them. I think they showcase Paul's passion for evangelism. And I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, where Paul tells the church in Corinth, "You need to imitate me as I imitate Christ." I'm going to go over there and check that. Yeah, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And I'm going to speak off the cuff here, but if I remember from my studies, and I'm doing word studies because I really love it, the idea of "be ye followers of me" is the idea of playing follow the leader. In other words, if you're playing follow the leader as a kid, and you remember walking around, and one kid's walking around, and he's every third step, he's taking a hop, and he's holding his right arm up, well, then you got to every third step take a hop and hold your right arm up. And if you miss it, you're out. And then I don't know exactly how you win that game. We never did. We never were. How do I put it? We never did finish because recess bell always rang. But we used to play that in grade school all the time. But that's what Paul is talking about. You need. I'm going to imitate Christ exactly, and in so much as I'm imitating Christ exactly, you imitate the things about me that are imitations of Christ, and don't follow me unless I'm following Christ, is the idea. Lighten Muhongo. Well, fine, brother, help me this material. I'll help you. Just take a listen, share the content in your country. And if you have questions you want me to answer, topics for shows or something like that, send an email to christianityisnow@gmail.com. And I'll leave that up there for a moment. For show topics, questions, and email, www.christianityisnow@gmail.com. Romans 1, 14 through 16. Do you want to know about Paul? Do you want to know how he thought? Listen to this. "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul felt as if he owed a debt to everybody to preach the gospel. And so he set his mind to the task. He set his body and mind. He set himself to the task of preaching the gospel. And many times at great peril to himself. When's the last time when's the last time you, listener, had this much conviction and preached the gospel and participated in evangelism at sacrifice to yourself? That's a hard question for me, especially in Western culture, in Canada, the United States. And a lot of times folks say, well, Canada is so antagonistic to the gospel. No, it ain't. It really isn't. Not any more than the United States, not any more than many other countries. It's just people in general are antagonistic to the gospel. We've got to preach. Paul pulled Timothy into the very throne room of God metaphorically. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? Well, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will, after their own lust, heap unto themselves teachers, having itching ears. Good morning, Village Fishing. Good to see you. Terry Crooks, I don't know if I said good morning to you or not. If I didn't, I should have. And if I didn't, I'm sorry. All right. Number next. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. And I've got these kind of on a cheat sheet here. I'm not having to flip through the Bible. I'm going to just read them. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself a servant to all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. I'm going to tell you, this was Paul's attitude, and I think in the book of Acts, and you go study this in your personal Bible time, in the book of Acts, we have an example of where he took this too far. Paul actually allowed a blood sacrifice to be made on his behalf, and he participated in a cleansing ritual for the purpose of comforting the Jews and letting the Jews know that he wasn't out there teaching that they should forsake the law of Moses. Well, the problem is he was teaching exactly that they should leave the law of Moses, forsake the law of Moses. So I think he went too far. I think he sinned. And I think probably he struggled with that. And the reason we're getting 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, he's trying to tell them, like, look, you folks are bringing my apostleship under review. If I'm an apostle, if I'm not an apostle to others, I am doubtless an apostle unto you, for the seal of my apostleship are ye and the Lord. The signs of an apostle were worked among you. Why are you doubting my apostleship? Why are you doubting my sincerity? Why are you treating me like this? I'm free from all men. I don't have any debts. But I've made myself a slave unto everyone. That's including you. Folks, Paul had a passion. We need to resonate. That needs to resonate with us, and we need to resound that passion. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. Folks, Canada's got good coffee, even cheap coffee. Cool beans. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live to themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Folks, one of the reasons Paul was so passionate about evangelism is because of his love of Jesus, his love of all men, but it's not elucidated here in this passage. But he's saying his passion was tempered by logic. I'll get it out in a minute. What do you mean, Tony? Well, I'm glad you asked. His passion was tempered by logic. Listen to it. The love of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ holds us. The love of Christ keeps us from, it keeps us together. It keeps us on the task. Why? Because we logically deduce, we thus judge, if one died for all, so if Christ died for everybody, man, woman, and child, then we're all dead, man, woman, and child. Now, I've covered this in depth. I'm going to cover it very, very surface. If you'll go back to the book of Genesis, and you'll see the fall of man, the day wherein thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. How in the world could God not do that? Because he could look over the annals of history, of time, rather, through the future from Adam and Eve's perspective, and see the cross, and see Jesus. See, he knew, he already planned, Ephesians chapter 3, he already planned for the grace to come, so he was able to show mercy in the moment and still be just. How in the world was Adam and Eve allowed to live past the eating of the fruit of the garden in order to procreate so that you and I might live on the earth? Because Jesus died in Adam's place. Voluntarily, not forced. And so Paul and the apostles logically concluded all of humanity were supposed to be dead. But Christ died for them, so they're alive. But they're not alive so they might live for themselves. But the free gift of physical life that passed upon all men in remedy to the condemnation that passed on to all men through Adam, now you have the opportunity to repent and be baptized and be raised again to walk in newness of life. Now you have the opportunity to give that life back to God through Jesus Christ. That's logical. As a Christian, you're walking around town, you see people who are not Christians, you should think, man, all these people are dead. We need to make them alive again, and we have the remedy. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 28 through 29. In fact, I'm going to go there. I'm not going to use it on my cheat sheet. 2 Corinthians 11. All right. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. I want you to listen to all the things that Paul suffered. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Adam? So am I. Are they servants or ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Folks, that's bad. Like, that's not a little bad. Like, that's really bad. But then listen to this. Grammatically, this style of writing, to me, and this is conjecture, I understand. I'm not going to die on this hill. But listening to this, and once I say this, you may look at this passage differently. It is my opinion, this is conjecture, that it is a reasonable inference that what Paul writes in verse 28 bothered him more than what happened in the body, the physical beatings that happened in the previous verses. Hello, Bulldog Jr. Greetings, my fellow humans. Greetings, fellow humans. Today is a good day. Let's go out and get some human food. Parks and Rec is a very funny show. And what I just did, while not probably 100% faithful to what happened in the show, that was a scene that was in the show. Very funny show. What's up, Chris Olive? Good to see you. All right. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? Paul laid his life on the line and was beaten and stoned and shipwrecked and treated all manner of bad way. But I feel like the implication here is what bothered him the most was the care that he had for all the churches. I'm going to refrain for one day from giving any objections to my formal religion. I still like it and even baptize my babies. Well, I'm glad you're refraining from objections. But I will tell you this, there are many different religions in the world that are based on the Bible, all of which claim Christendom, and not all of them are created equal, not all of them are from God. So if you feel like Christianity is a false religion, and you're convinced Christianity is a false religion, it may be that you were not involved with Christians in the first place. Just something to think about. And I appreciate your being here, and I hope you stick around and interact and listen and interject and even object. We love objections here. Every Friday we have what's called a free for all Friday, and I've already been asked in the Q&A. I've got some stuff that I'm preparing, and Friday we're going to have the beginning of the hour. We'll talk about the man of sin and the Antichrist and some of the misconceptions that people who claim Christendom believe about that. So maybe you'll find it interesting. I'm not sure exactly what I'm covering for tomorrow, but the Antichrist and the man of sin, the son of perdition, I will be covering that Friday, because it was a listener request. But anyway, fellow human, Bulldog, thank you for being here. And incidentally, I cannot look at your name without thinking about Frasier. One of the characters on there, the long running characters for that show, was a Bulldog. I can't remember his last name, but he was a pretty cool character, if you ask me. Well written. Anyway, so besides all these that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I'm not weak? So Paul put his life on the line. He was suffered in his body, but it was his anxiety and anxiousness and worry for the churches. Folks, Paul was passionate about souls. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 is probably one of my favorite passages. My uncle passed away, and I spoke at his funeral, and I actually read this at his funeral. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by my life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain. Paul had a passion about souls. If you go to the text, we don't have enough time to go to the text. I need to finish this segment so we can get into the next one. He said, it's better for me to be here with you, but I want to go home to be with Jesus. And if I die in these bonds, I'm just going to go be with Jesus. And that's far better. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what I want. But I know that staying here, I'm going to work hard for souls, is the implication. Colossians 1, 28 through 29. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, which worketh in me mightily. Paul had a passion. Incidentally, the books of Colossians and Ephesians, although I do not have a reference from Ephesians on here, the book of Colossians is, it has been said that the book of Colossians is the book about the Christ of the church. And the book of Ephesians is the book about the church of Christ. And I don't mean that in a denominational sense. I mean that in the church that Jesus built, about which he spake when he said, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Folks, Paul was passionate. We warn every man. We teach every man in all wisdom. Why? So that we may present every man perfect. His goal was to present every man complete and equipped in Christ. Sazid Ahmed, good morning to you. We're glad you're here. All right. So, Paul had a selfless dedication to preaching the gospel. And so that is what I want to talk about today. Now, as we get into this second segment, I want to put the tip jar up. And the only reason I'm doing this, because, you know, we get a lot of new listeners and stuff like that on these live streams. The only reason I'm putting the tip jar up is because our regular listeners have asked me to do it. And they say it's easier for them to donate through PayPal than other means. But there's so many ways to do it. All of them are listed in the show notes. But if you just want to send a PayPal to nearchurches@gmail.com, that's great. So let's go to Romans chapter 9. We're going to read 1 through 5. And I want to pull a thought from this, from a particular phrase. And we're going to talk about Paul's passion for evangelism. I think there's one phrase in Scripture more than any other that showcases Paul's passion for evangelism and just how deeply concerned he was about evangelism. Oh, hold on. I've lost my notes. Where are you at? All right. I say that this is Romans 9, 1 through 5. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. For my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law, and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers of and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Did you catch that? Listen to Mark 8, 34 through 38. And when she had called the people unto him with all his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Folks, let me tell you something. You can absolutely, not like the movies, and you're not meeting the demon at the crossroad at twilight, but you can absolutely sell your soul. You may tell you how you can sell your soul. I use this example a lot. It's probably worn out and old hat by now. You can absolutely sell your soul in this way. You're working a job at the factory. You're making $60,000 a year. A promotion opens up, and the suits, the corporate people, they pull you in the office, and they say, we've been noticing your work ethic. You've had a couple of good ideas that have saved this plant hundreds of thousands of dollars per month. We want to move you up into a corporate position, and you'll be making $75,000 a year to start. But instead of working Monday through Friday, your working will be Saturday through Wednesday. Which means, folks, on Sunday, you won't be able to worship with the saints. You won't be able to gather together with the saints. They're going to send you traveling all over the country. It's going to take you away from your family. It's going to take you away from your children. So they're going to remove you from the home. They're going to remove you from your brothers and sisters in the church. But they're going to give you $15,000 extra dollars. What do? Do you take it? And just say, well, I'm 30 years old. If I do this till I'm, even if I don't do this until I'm 50, I can give my life more fully to God when I'm 50. He just needs to wait. I'm going to tell you, if you do that, you sold your soul, in effect. No, you didn't meet the devil and sign on a piece of paper and blood, but you sold your soul. We need to be as passionate about Paul as Paul about souls, which would make us just as passionate as Paul about evangelism. Listen to this. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is testifying that what I am saying is correct. Why? Because he's writing by inspiration. Now, I think also the implicit in here, and I didn't share any links in the comment section like I usually do, but I think implicit in here is Paul's conscience is informed miraculously by the Holy Ghost. Not controlled, informed. And I bring that out in an article that I wrote, which I've got to narrate this article today. Hold on a second. I'm going to share it in the comments. Share, copy link. I'll get her here in a minute. What have I done? All right. Now, paste. Be sure and go to Substack and check that free article out. But anyway, so the point is, I think it also means his conscience is informed, which our conscience needs to be informed and shaped by the Holy Ghost as well. But presently that happens through the words that the Holy Spirit has revealed that is of God, that is preserved in his word, i.e. the Bible. But anyway, so what Paul is saying here is true. And here's what he's saying. I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Why? Because I love my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. I'm a Jew. I'm a Hebrew's Hebrew, according to the book of Philippians. And I want my brethren to be saved. Okay, that's a start. And he says, because I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Let me tell you what that translates into. Now, this is subjunctive, and I'm going to do this live. Hopefully it works. All right. Subjunctive. The subjunctive mood, and look, we're going to use Wikipedia. If you're writing a scholarly paper, don't use Wikipedia, but Wikipedia is good enough for this. The subjunctive is a grammatical mood, a feature of an utterance that indicates the speaker's attitude toward it. Subjunctive forms of verbs are typically used to express various states of unreality, such as wish, emotion, possibility, judgment, opinion, or obligation or action that has not yet occurred. The precise situations in which they are used vary from language to language, but they are present in all languages. Grammar is ubiquitous to all language, by the way. The rules of grammar, they don't change. The subjunctive is one of the,
It
helps if you can actually see it. I need to get better glasses. The irrealis moods, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and irrealis moods are the main set of grammatical moods that indicates a certain situation or action is not known to have happened at the moment of the speaker is speaking. All right. But anyway, subjunctive mood, it refers to what is not necessarily real, and it's often contrasted with the indicative mood or realist mood, so irrealist or a realist mood, which principally indicates that something is a statement of fact. So the subjunctive mood here, Paul says, I could wish myself were accursed from Christ. In other words, he knows it's a wish, it's a fleeting desire, it's moot, if I'm using that word correctly. In other words, he cannot wish himself were accursed from Christ for his brethren, his kinsmen, according to the flesh, because it's impossible. It's not something that can be done, because one human being cannot sacrifice himself for another spiritually. It takes Jesus Christ. However, Paul, you don't write something or speak something unless you think it first. So Paul had been ruminating, cogitating, turning it over in his mind. So anxious and desirous was he that his Jewish brethren, his Hebrew brethren, might be saved, that he thought, if I could take their place in hell, I would. Now I have a question for you listeners. And remember, I have a question for you listeners, and I'm going to use the cliche, I'm pointing a finger out and three fingers are pointing back at me. I've got the same question. I ask myself this question all the time. Have I ever toyed with the idea of trading my soul for another's? I have not. I hope that doesn't make you think less of me. But that's how passionate Paul was about evangelism. That he entertained the thought of spending an eternity in hell so that his Jewish brethren could spend an eternity in heaven. Aren't you glad God doesn't require that? All God required is the soul that sins, it shall die. But one time, the precious Son of God voluntarily offered himself up and died on the cross in the place of Adam so that you and I could have a chance and we could be born and we could give our lives back to God. That's Paul's passion. That's what propelled him forward. Paul loved with a sacrificial love. Now, God does not expect us to love that deeply or passionately, but it is well within our wheelhouse to love to the point of sacrificing our life. John chapter 15, verse 13, Jesus states, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Paul's willingness, or Paul, again, we don't even know necessarily if Paul was willing. He just entertained the idea, but even that level of passion shows his willingness for self-sacrifice. And we see from the verses that we read in the beginning of this hour, especially from 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is willing to sacrifice self. I mean, for crying out loud, he was stoned and left for dead in Laodicea, and he went right back in, bearing the wounds of his stoning, and got Barnabas, finished his missionary journey, then he went back to Laodicea and preached some more. How can this type of sacrificial love inspire a more profound commitment to evangelism for you and me? Well, I tell you what, I think about the Day of Judgment, and I don't know exactly how it's going to be, but I picture it as if we're all in line and we go up to King Jesus and we either hear, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. And I can picture some banter in the line, and maybe I'm behind Paul or in front of Paul, and I'm getting anxious about standing before King Jesus. And I say something like, well, you know, I hope Jesus understands. I mean, you know, I turn around to the guy behind me and I'm like, you know, you understand in 2024 in Canada and the United States, man, it was hard to evangelize. Jesus understands persecution. He knows we would have been, it's just hard to evangelize. And then come to find out the person behind me is the Apostle Paul that I've been speaking to. And he just kind of chuckles. He might go, well, yeah, I guess it would be hard to evangelize. Well, when did you live? And when? How hard was it to evangelize when you lived? Well, I lived around the turn of the century. I'm the Apostle Paul. And then he recounts the stripes in his body, the pain in his body, the torture that he received for being a Christian. And finally, he died because of evangelism. He wouldn't shut up. The devil don't care if you're a Christian, but by God in heaven, he's going to make sure you don't make anybody else a Christian if he can. Because here's the thing. If you're not trying to make somebody else a Christian, you're not a Christian. I'm just going to let that sit. So let's talk about the role of an evangelist. Incidentally, that's why Paul's passion spurs me on. And one of the reasons I'm spurred on is because of Paul's passion. And the reason I guess that Paul's passion resonates with me is because somebody that I love very, very dearly that was close to me, they were not a Christian. And in my younger days, I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to make them uncomfortable. So we didn't ever talk about God. And that person died tragically and suddenly, way, way too early. He died outside of Christ. I know where he is eternally. I don't blame God. I'm not angry at God. It was my responsibility as a Christian to preach the gospel to that man, to teach him the ways of the Lord and how to be saved. And I sacrificed that for an earthly relationship. In fact, when I think about it, it's almost like I sold his soul in order to receive a relationship with him. I have since been forgiven because the blood of Jesus Christ. There's not a sin his blood can't wash away if you're penitent. But it haunts me. And I think that's why this message from Paul's life resonates with me so greatly. That's why Romans 9 there, I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Let me tell you something. I hope you don't think me braggadocious. But I've thought about what it would be like to trade my place that's reserved for me in heaven for the place of him, because I take ownership of my fault. All right. That's all we'll say about that. This principle of sacrificial love needs to inspire us to copy it. Let's talk about the role of the evangelist. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. the nature of faith and salvation, there's an interplay between faith, works, and salvation. Think about faith, works, salvation as a Venn diagram where your belief in God overlaps with your works. Well, there's where salvation is. Can you be saved without working? No. Can you be saved by working? No. So you can't be saved by works. You can't be saved without works. Can you be saved because you have faith or because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? No. But can you be saved without it? No. So your belief or your faith has to intersect with your action, and that's where salvation occurs. And I'm not going to talk any more about that. But our role as evangelist is to bring that together. We have to be eager and willing to sometimes share our story. There's nothing wrong with testimony. Now listen, my testimony is not authoritative. My testimony is not probably as powerful as the Word of God. When I said probably, I don't know why I said probably. It's not. My testimony isn't as powerful as the Word of God. But sometimes you testifying to others about what God has done in your life and how your life has changed in a positive way because of your Christianity, that will cause people to listen and be exposed to the Word of God. That's our role. Everywhere we go. Now think about this. In Acts chapter 8, there's an interesting turn of phrase. And I'll go over here and read this. Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start reading in verse 3. As for Saul, which is Paul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad, in other words, they left Jerusalem, and they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, that word order might make us think, well, if they were in Jerusalem, let's say they went up to Damascus, they left Jerusalem, and when they got to Damascus, they preached the word. No. They preached the word as they went. The idea here, this is an as you are going form of evangelism, form of discipleship, really, because you can't be a disciple that's in line with the discipline that God would have us be. We can't be an evangelist. You can't be a disciple without being evangelistic. So everywhere they went, they practiced an as you are going discipleship. Folks, that's us. We've got to bring people together. We got to convince them to believe in Jesus, and we've got to inform them that the intersection of their faith and their works is salvation. You can't have salvation with faith alone. You can't have salvation with works alone. You gotta, it's the intersection of faith and works. There are some challenges, however, to evangelism in the modern day. First off, in this fast-paced society, these people that are used to, especially in Western culture, quite frankly, and this is a pejorative, but you got these young kids that have TikTok brain. They can't follow along overarching narratives and think abstractly because they're so brain addled. And they're only used to receiving information that's non-serialized and non-sequential and very, very short bites. Folks, that's just something we got to do. We still have to figure out how to deal with that in this modern world. So how do we become a more effective evangelist in modernity? Well, I tell you what, you can find somebody who's very, very successful and you can observe them. And I'm not too proud to admit it. You can copy what they do. You can hire them
to come to the congregation where you are and teach. There's ways to do that. House to House, Heart to Heart has a program for that. And they're not the only ones. They're just the ones that I see most often because of the people that are on my friends list on social media. There are some barriers to evangelism that I don't think are unique to this modern age. There's fear. Let me tell you something. One of the biggest things holding people back from evangelizing is not a passion. It's not a will to do it. It's not a desire to do it. It's not an understanding that it needs to be done. It's a fear. They think either, well, I'm not going to be good enough. I'm going to mess something up. This is too important. I don't know how to do this. And so they just shut down. I think fear is the leading cause for people not to evangelize. I don't know what to tell you there. The way to get over that is just do it. Oh, and this is hard in this modern day environment, because in this modern day culture, in Western culture, Canada, the United States especially, if something's hard, they say just don't do it because that affects your mental health. Whenever Jesus says, Tony, get over it. Jesus does say, Tony, get over it in a way. But the Bible says, just get over it. Suck it up. In fact, the Hebrews writer talking to the Hebrews in the first century that were about to face more persecution, the Hebrews writer says, look, you got to keep, got to remain faithful. You hadn't suffered till to death. You ain't died. Think about that one. Tony, does the end of Romans 9 indicate that the Gentiles were more receptive to the good, to the gospel than the Jews? I don't know if it does or not. Let me see. Verse 31 through 33 is what I'm going to read of Romans 9. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay a... you know what, Scott? If you ever get in an argument about this, don't cite me. But I think it does. I think that's a valid inference from the text. And now that I'm thinking about it, I cannot remember which chapter. Well, I know in Acts chapter 11, the Gentiles were more receptive than the Jews. But then, is it Acts 14 or Acts 13? There's a phrase. Scott, I'd have to chew on this some more to get it, but not just the end of Romans 9, but I think the preponderance of other scriptures is that the Gentiles were more receptive than the Jews. I've contemplated exchanging my spiritual journey with others, be it family, friends, or even kind strangers. My heart feels heavy when I see people outside, perhaps because I deeply wish for everyone to experience heaven, or because I understand the horrors of hell. Often when I try to share my beliefs, I'm met with dismissal, even from my own family, which deepens my sorrow. Terry Crooks. Yeah, I'm with you. And like I said, the whole podcast, it's about it. Yeah, we need to have that same conviction and passion as Paul. We need to know it's impossible. You can't swap your journey for somebody else's. It's not how it works. But we do need to be concerned with souls. Awesome, Scott Beck. Thank you very much. Awesome, Scott Beck. You're welcome. Sorry. I feel weird saying you're welcome, because I never feel like I answer a question adequately. And I feel like when an audience member asks a question, if I answer it, it's a weird thing to say you're welcome, because you've really given me a gift, because you've given me something to talk about. And if you're thinking it, if you're asking it, then probably a bunch of other people are thinking it. And I don't know. It's just, I feel like whenever an audience member makes a comment or asks a question, it's more of a gift from you to me. And I really should be the one saying thank you to you. All right. So enough about that. Obstacles, fear, apathy. Folks, some folks are just apathetic to evangelism. They practice checklist Christianity. And they think, well, I'm a member of the right church. I did the right thing. I come. I don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I come in. What's it called? I eat a chip. I take a sip and I leave a $2 tip. And out the back door, I'll slip. That's apathetic, folks. We got to get out of that. Christianity has to be our lives, our vocation, our conversation, our life. Is Christianity. And then, of course, cultural barriers. Cultural barriers are going to be unique to your particular culture. It's difficult sometimes. Well, for instance, think about, I know many folks from Mexico. Think about going to Mexico and trying to convert people to Christianity out of the Catholic Church. That's going to be difficult. So, we need to reflect on our own commitment to evangelism, and personally, we need to consider ways to deepen our engagement with folks outside of the body of Christ and to bring them inside of the body of Christ. So we've looked at verses, six of them, and as a matter of fact, to show just how passionate Paul was. And we need then, based on that, to take some actionable steps in our journey as evangelists, and we need to become all things to all people. Focus on the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. Maybe get some training. Maybe use a formal book and get out of our comfort zone. We need to, and I really appreciate all the comments. And you know what? Send me an email if you want me to do videos or answer questions or something like that. Give me some of your experiences, maybe some experiences where you've had epic successes, where you thought you'd be met with failure, and we can talk about it on a live stream, or I can do a short form video about it, or send me an experience where you had an epic fail and say, hey, what would you have done different? You know, looking through the realm of hindsight, you know. Here's what I would have done differently. What do you think? And then that would make some awesome content videos and be very encouraging. And my suggestion is formalize your evangelism. Paul Sayne's book, Someone Died and Left You a Fortune. I'm going to see quickly if I'm going to try to be off of here in less than 2 minutes. Sayne Publications. Hold on. I'm Googling and I'm doing it one-handed. All right, there's Sayne Publications. Why is my computer going slow? All right, check this out. I am going to share this link, and right on the landing page, Sayne Publications, get Someone Died and Left You a Fortune for free now. And that's a digital copy, but you can print your name and an email address and subscribe and get on his email list, and you will get a free copy of this book. And this book is amazing. I absolutely love it. And it's what I've used. I've probably baptized by now 20 or 25 people using this book. There it is, paste. 25 people obeyed the gospel because of lessons, because of going through this book. It's amazing. So, but Rob Whitaker also has I can't remember what they're called, but check House to House, Heart to Heart, Sayne Publications, Someone Died and Left You a Fortune. That would be awesome. And then, yeah, that's really the show. Folks, let's get serious about evangelism. Let's share in Paul's passion for souls. Remember, subscribe on Substack for free, but if you want to support us monetarily, it's $5 a month. You can send a PayPal to nearchurches@gmail.com. You can also do $1 a month at Patreon, www.patreon.com/Christianity Now. Thank you so much. Every dollar that you support us with goes right into advertising the for this brand and growing the brand. And the merchandise store is being built. We're going to sell shirts and bags and coffee mugs and thermoses. We're going to sell them with neat little stuff on it like this, cool beans, t-shirts with phrases that were that are said in the show, and our logo, our brand is going to be our brand is going to be featured on the products as well, Christianity Now. So just be on the standby for that. And remember, share the YouTube if you can, because YouTube is where it's at. We want to get that growth on YouTube. We want to get those watch hours. We want to get those subscriptions. But if you like listening in the background to podcast form of this, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and TuneIn Radio, you can listen there. Cogitations on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or TuneIn Radio. And that's all we've got, folks. Thank you so much. Oh, Sue Ross, good to see you. Thanks, everybody. God bless you. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations powered by Christianity Now. Let's go out and save some souls. We'll catch you on the flip side.